This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com, executive director of the World Sweeping Association. We're speaking today with Jim Barnes, and Jim is the manager of regional fleet sales for Isuzu Truck, and we also have on the line with us Mike Rossetti, and Mike is the director of field operations for Isuzu Commercial Truck of America. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Ranger.
Our issue here today is with Isuzu chassis. We've had some reports of fuel system problems, primarily in 2006-2007 chassis. This is before the changeover to the newer emission chassis. And there are some scattered reports, and I would say, you know, perhaps widespread, but it's hard to know that with a snapshot as small as the sweeping industry, of fuel system problems, including customers and users of sweepers that have had to replace fuel tanks, fuel lines, fuel pumps, injectors, and so forth on these particular chassis. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, why that may be occurring and whether that was a widespread situation or there may be something unique to sweeping that is causing that to happen as well. These gentlemen are, you know, experts in the general usage and care and feeding of Isuzu chassis, so we'll certainly get a good overview there. Because all of these are out of warranty now, then I think our mission in this particular interview primarily is to talk about how you can keep your fuel system make it a well-oiled machine, or keep your fuel system where you'll have the best longevity and lifetime from all of your fuel system components. So with that as our preface, gentlemen, would one of you like to take the ball and roll with it here and talk a little bit about this topic for us?
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to start off if you don't.
And this is Mike.
Mm-hmm. That is correct, Mike Rossetti. I'd be more than happy to start off with. As everybody knows, that the emission laws changed for the 2007 calendar year time frame, and in doing so, we had to go to a diesel particulate filter, and it's just not Isuzu, it's all of the diesel manufacturers, you know, nationwide. And in doing so, they changed the fuel to ultra-low sulfur fuel. And unfortunately, as when they did this, all right, the sulfur in the fuel kind of acts like a lubricity. Going to the ultra-low sulfur fuel, that lubricity is now deplenished greatly. And in doing so, what happens is that when moisture gets trapped into the fuel systems, the mixing with the ultra-low sulfur fuel, the acidic level of the fuel starts to climb dramatically. And it's just not just all the manufacturers of the diesel automotive manufacturers or the truck manufacturers, but it was also the refineries were also starting to experience this high acidic values in the fuel in certain areas, not widespread, but in certain areas like, you know, high temperature and high moisture. And even the refineries were experiencing rusting inside their tanks, you know, their holding tanks and in their pipes, you know, from this issue.
So what we're looking at really is a change in fuel and a change in an entire system. What can be done then, not only for, really we're talking about any model year, any chassis, now with the low sulfur diesel, what can be done, what are the primary steps? Do we change the fuel filters more often, or are there other kinds of things, are there additives and so forth? And I know, keeping in mind the particular usage in sweeping, I recall over 20 years ago now where we had an issue with engines getting toasted in the back engine of sweepers, and the concern was that there were particulates getting in from the filter, and it turned out that the answer was to not change your air filter more often, because people were tending to get a little bit of dust down each time they changed their air filter, but to actually wait till the red little thing popped up to show that it was really getting plugged to do that, because you know, the issue was over servicing rather than under servicing. So I'll just put that out there as a kind of a caveat to get started. With the fuel system like this, is there a particular technique? Are there driving ways to do? Are there types of fuel to look for? Are there filter issues, injector cleaning products, or anything like that that we should be looking at?
Well, there is, you know, there is fuel treatments out there. Many different companies do manufacture fuel treatments for diesel fuel systems. And then for the only thing, you know, that I can recommend is that to make sure that when you're purchasing fuel, that you're purchasing it at a brand name or known fuel station, all right? And then monitoring your fuel filters is also equally important, making sure that you do your fuel filters, and when you do replace fuel filters, they should be with quality fuel filters. I know Isuzu, our filters are 5 micron, 85% efficient. And there are other filters out there that are equally as good, but there are also a lot of filters out there that are not as good as OEM. But I would recommend that we definitely keep good filters on the truck, all right, and have quality fuel on it, which would reduce the overall tendency to cause damage, not so much as or rusting in the fuel tank, but you know the good quality fuel, you know, will get the keep the injector's life a lot longer. Also,
well, when you have the ultra low sulfur, you just have to keep in mind that now that is a much more critical fuel component than it was in the past, and you know, keeping all aspects of your fuel system running efficiently is certainly a consideration. Should you really try to keep your fuel tank full all the time, as best as you can? Is that I know there's a tendency to collect moisture in the top of a tank when it's partly full, given some conditions, whether that's winter or summer. I don't know whether that's actually worse, but is there something you could do there that might make a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the when you have a full tank, you have less likely, okay, of the moisture accumulating on top of the tank or the exposed portions of a fuel system or a fuel tank itself.
And how about injectors? There are a lot of products out there that claim to help clean fuel injectors. Is that something that you think is a good preventive? How do you assess that?
Yeah, there is an awful lot of companies, again, just like fuel treatments and things, there's a lot of companies out there that do supply fuel injector cleaners that you could put in the fuel, and it'll go ahead and run through the injectors. And they have been, there's a lot of them out there that do a pretty good job from what we're hearing from the customers.
Anything else that should be done? Should you preventively change your fuel filter? I mean, that's not really, the fuel filter is not really a problem until it starts, you know, plugging your fuel service to get to the engine, and that's a very minor item to be replacing. I know with air filters, they're actually more efficient as they get more and more plugged up to a certain point, until you can't get enough air for your engine, and that would, I would assume, be the same case with fuel filters, where they're not quite as efficient when they first get started as they are, you know, halfway through their service life, but you don't want to let them go to where, I mean, you do want to replace your fuel filter so that you're doing it in your shop and you're not doing it, you know, in a parking lot in the middle of the night someplace.
Well, you know, the fuel filters, when they're brand new, you know, to me, they're efficient when they're right out of the box. But the, you know, a fuel filter, everybody goes, how long does a fuel filter last, or how long does an air filter last, or any filter? It only lasts as long as as it gets plugged up. If you have a brand new fuel filter on it and your tank has contamination in it, all right, it could plug up within as few as 100 miles, you know. But there's really no mileage. It depends on how you operate the vehicle, where you buy your fuel, and all of that. That would dictate exactly when to replace the fuel filter. And you said something that was spot on, is that, you know, it's a very inexpensive component. And if you replace your fuel filters on a more regular basis, okay, that you have less chance of having issues down the road.
That's really is pound foolish to let something like that go. And for those of you who are unsure of what a 5-micron filter does, hair on a human head is about 72 microns wide. So a human hair's 72 microns, divide that out and see how small 5 microns is. And it's really a very small particulate that could be able to get through a 5-micron filter. And the reason that that is chosen is that there's little damage that's going to happen to an engine if for particles in your fuel that's as small as 5 microns. So that's certainly a factor. Is there anything else that the average user of a street sweeper here, a parking lot sweeper, can do to increase their service life of their fuel system? Because if you have to replace a fuel tank, that's a very pricey item. If you have to replace injectors, and we're talking about not only the price of having to replace them, but also the downtime and the labor costs and so forth, in addition to the parts costs. So I know that you had some very good tips on the care and feeding of your diesel particulate filters and to get that system to last as well as you can. So is there anything else you can think of? Now, one that I know that I've read widespread as a tip in professional magazines on this topic is to never fuel while the service station you're at is getting fuel put into its tank, because when the tanker truck is there filling it up, if you happen to be pulling the fuel out of that same tank, the action of that large bore hose going into the tank to offload the tanker will put particulates up into the fuel system, into the whole fuel tank, and then you're pulling that out as you pump your fuel. But is there anything else, you know, specifically with the Zuzu that somebody can do? Do they need to make sure that they run, 60 miles an hour for X amount of time? Will that help each shift? Or, is there anything else out there that might be helpful?
Well, running the vehicle at 60 miles an hour, that really would not affect, you know, if you've got contaminated fuel or something along that line. The object is to keep the contamination out of the tank. We have found, you know, some people that if they lose the gas cap or the fuel fill cap, that we've seen trucks with rags stuffed in them, and what that does is it allows you to get contaminants inside there. So making sure that your gas cap seal is clean and it's intact and the gas cap is tight, all right, that would help immensely. Also in the Isuzu, we have right up by the gas cap, we have a vent assembly up there because, of course, the tank has to be vented. And we have found some of those, all right, where they are actually between the mud flap, all right, and the wheel. So when you're driving down the road, you're getting water and mud and everything else splashed up onto the filler neck, okay, and around the vent valve, which basically would force contaminants and water and everything into the tank, which then would start the rust process. And then making sure that that's all clean and free of debris and it's away from, road dirt and everything else. And then the other thing, would, of course, be is to make sure that you maintain the filters, you know, on a regular basis.
With those vent holes, can you just wipe them off if you, now the listener walks out and looks at a truck and it's just covered with dirt and covered with grease or whatever it is that's there? Can they just wipe that down? Is there, you don't want to use any kind of high pressure blowing on it or anything like that? You obviously don't want to put anything into the fuel, and I don't know if that's a one-way valve or what it is, but... they just can wipe it with a rag. Should they use some kind of solvent on it if it doesn't get clean, or soap and water? But if it's grease-based, they might have to put a solvent on it. Is that anything like that critical, or do you just wipe it down with a rag and keep it clean?
Well, you know, it's tough to say. You know, it depends really what's on it. You need to make sure that it is clean, but more importantly is once you do get it, if that vent valve is got dirt and grease and all over it, or whatever it is, road grime, then there's a good chance that has already entered into the fuel system. My recommendation is to clean that vent valve up and then put some sort of a cover or relocate the fuel filler neck, okay, away so it doesn't get all that road grime or dirt or anything that splashed onto it. Because even if you clean it off, you know, if it happens again, all right, there's a good chance that it could contaminate the fuel system.
One of the things I think we should discuss openly here is that Isuzu sells truck and chassis to an enormously wide variety of applications, and that the sweeping application is a minor part of Isuzu's business. And for that, again, I thank you for taking the time to talk to us here in the sweeping industry. But when Mike talks about relocating the filler or something like that, as a listener, you probably think, well, come on, why don't they put it where it should be in the first place? And the fact is that the sweeping application is really one of the toughest applications for any type of equipment that could be out there. You're putting dirt and grime and dust, and you're mixing water with that as you are sweeping. And most of the chassis that are going to be sold in the U.S. marketplace or anywhere else are not going to come under nearly the severe conditions that sweepers are. So he's right. Look at what the problem is. Talk to your Isuzu dealer, of course, before you would make some kind of a substantive change that, certainly that might void your warranty, or that, they, with their more years of experience, might look at it and say, well, yeah, but have you thought about this? Oh, yeah. Before you do some kind of modification that'll get you in trouble, but there may well be some steps you can take, and talk to your Isuzu dealer about that too. Remember, he wants to sell you more chassis, he or she, and they want you to come back as a satisfied customer. Preventive maintenance is certainly one of the best ways to keep a customer satisfied, and if you're running into issues like this or anything else with your chassis, with your sweeper, or any of your other equipment, try to be preventive about it and talk to your manufacturer, talk to your dealer, and say, here's the problem I'm running into. I want this to stop, and I don't want it to spread to my other piece of equipment that are like this.
Ranger, I do have to advise you, though, that we've got the sweeper industry out there, like Schwartz and Nighthawk and Timco and Elgin and everybody, they're amazing upfitters, and they are aware of proper replacement, on the filler necks. But over time, could they, could something come loose, or you change your mud flap position or something along that line? Things change as you utilize the vehicle, and then maybe it would expose whatever changes could expose that filler neck into, road splash from the wheel or something like that. And I just want to just caution your listeners to make sure that they keep the road splash and they keep that area clean as best as possible. But
sure,
the sweeper industry out there, the body upfitters, do an amazing job.
See, I told everybody that Isuzu wanted to sell chassis to the sweeper manufacturers, and see, there's a great example. Thanks, Mike, and you are 100% right that is the case. And then these sweepers and chassis just look wonderful, and they drive great when you drive them off the parking lot. And the next thing you know, you don't have a mud flap somewhere down the road, and your operator tore it off on something, and it didn't get replaced, or it's half hanging, or whatever it is. That's another aspect, too, is to look at your machine and make sure that it's what it used to be. Are all the components in place? Does your mud flap still, is it still there and intact and in the right spot and so forth? I mean, look for any kind of clues that might make a difference. How about pressure washing the engine? Is that anything that might make a difference somehow with any of this, or any other aspect of the chassis repair?
It's always great to keep, the chassis, and the engine and the transmission, the driveline, everything, clean. It's like the old days is when you have a bunch of dirt that is on an engine, it traps in the heat, all right? It kind of holds the heat inside the engine. So if it's clean, all right, it has a tendency to dissipate the heat much quicker. And when an engine runs cooler, it runs much longer. So if you're going to pressure wash it, don't use the pressure nozzle, to like right onto electrical components, or wiring connectors or something like this, but just fanning over them to knock the dirt, the dust off of it is always a good thing to make sure that everything's clean.
All right, and I think we've covered that topic really pretty well. Do you have anything to add in on that, Jim? We're having trouble with Jim, and he's on the cell phone this morning, so hang on, I'm going to hit a pause right there, and then Well, so for since I have you on the line, and for bonus points here, let's talk transmissions a little bit. I have a contractor, a large contractor in California, good-sized fleet, and his problem was with transmissions. And I don't even know that these were Isuzu transmissions. I assume that they were just from the what I know of the composition of his probable fleet. But he said that transmission repairs was a huge cost for him. He was putting GPS onto his fleet, and he had the foresight to think, okay, let's put a sensor so that I can tell if the driver is coming to a complete stop when he goes from forward to reverse and reverse to forward, and really track that. And he said when he did that and let his drivers know that that was being tracked, suddenly his cost went down, and he said he was saving about $2,000 a month just on that factor alone, that there were a lot fewer transmission repairs. So that's just something to put out there to start the conversation about transmissions. But are there other items that you can say, or are there other tips or information you can provide about transmission care that might give us a little more longevity there in the sweeping application?
Absolutely. One of the things that we've seen is that you know, when the vehicle is when it's running, that you get some slight, some portion of some vibration that sets up. And of course, with the sweeper unit, while you're sweeping the parking lots, if the ones that I have seen where you've got a fair amount of dust that's around because you are cleaning it, and what happens is the dipstick, okay, or the oil level indicator for the transmission, if you look at the top of it, it's got a rubber seal on it, and you want to make sure that dipstick is sealed tightly, because if it's let's say that you check it during your daily checks, the transmission fluid, and when you put the dipstick back into it again but you don't seal it all the way, then you have a tendency of getting some of that dust and dirt down into the transmission. That could cause issues at that point in time, because you're contaminating the fluid within the transmission. So it's imperative that you put it in there, not just dust, but also, water. If you take it to a car wash and you're hosing it down, or back at the shop, if water gets into the transmission, that would also, cause issues too.
And are there any things like, is it worth putting a transmission cooler in if you're in a hot climate and you're running into transmission issues? Is that something to look toward, or additives, or anything like that?
Well, I don't recommend any transmission additives at all. The vehicles are equipped with a transmission cooler, and so far I have not seen, especially in the sweeper industry, the way that they're being utilized, I don't see where the transmissions are being overheated. The only thing, I would recommend is to make sure that you don't overfill the transmission, and that the dipstick is in nice and tight and it's sealed, and then you do your maintenance on it, every 30,000 miles, you change your fluid on it. But that's the only thing that I would recommend at this point in time.
I've seen a lot of shade tree mechanics as I was growing up, and they would smell the transmission fluid and see if it smelled burned before you buy a car or something like that. Can you really smell whether transmission fluid is bad?
You can smell, you get that it's kind of like an electric motor. When an electric motor burns, you get that smell from the varnish. Transmissions will, the fluid would smell, all right, but it's more important to look at the color of the fluid. The fluid should be nice and pink, all right. If it starts getting dark, all right, then you know that the transmission fluid's getting a little bit on the hot side, and it should be changed at that point in time.
And we go back to keeping your engine clean. You look at your engine, and it's all dirty, and so you think, oh, okay, well, now what I'll do is I'll pressure wash the engine. I remember Jim and Mike and Ranger were talking about that on this interview I heard. But if your dipstick for your oil, for your transmission, so forth, if that happened to be up a little bit, then suddenly you end up with high-pressure water being injected into your into your transmission or, you know, whatever is open. If the seal fell off and you didn't replace it and you thought, oh, well, that's okay because it's sitting down, it'll probably be fine. You know, again, keep your equipment in good repair. Every component and each aspect of it has been highly tested, and it's there for a reason. And that's what I've always felt with transmission additives and oil additives and so forth. If they were important to be there, then the manufacturer of the oil would be putting it in there to start with. But if it's, you know, if there's really a problem, I mean, you know, we know we've probably all at one point been around a transmission that had a leak in it, and so you look and there's all this leak stop that you can put in it. But, you know, what that will do for your transmission other than making the leak maybe stop, who knows? Well, if there's anything else we should talk about here, we can do that. Is there anything I've missed asking a question about?
This is Mike Rossetti. No, thank you very much for your time, and we do appreciate, of course, all your listeners' business. We here at Isuzu sure appreciate it.
Well, thanks to you both for being here, Jim, and organizing and setting up our interview with Mike. And we've had on the line with us Mike Rossetti, who has answered all of these questions. He's the Director of Field Operations for Isuzu Commercial Truck of America. And also with us has been Jim Barnes, who is the manager of Regional Fleet Sales. And he works closely with several members of the sweeper manufacturing industry, including Schwartz Industries and Victory, and perhaps others. Is that your beat, Jim, or do you have other manufacturers?
No, that's it. Those are the two that I kind of try to take care of.
Yeah, and I've been around Jim for, I guess, about 25 years now, so that says we're both older than someone might think, I guess. Well, thanks again, gentlemen, and we really appreciate the ideas to maximize your fuel system on Isuzu and, frankly, other types of chassis. There are really common sense kinds of things to do and some inside kind of information as well. But most of it is common sense, and most of it is preventive, and I encourage everybody I encourage everyone to practice safe preventive maintenance for their vehicles, whether that's the sweeper end of it or the chassis end of it, and you'll find you'll get a lot better life out of it. Thanks again, gentlemen. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Ranger.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay, Ranger, the other thing that's important too is the placement of the fuel filler neck when the vehicles are manufactured. And we've got some amazing sweeper manufacturers out there that are cognizant of the proper positioning of that fuel filler neck. They put it in the right place so it does not get exposed to contamination, you know, from either wheel spray or other areas.
Well, that's one thing to remember is that the sweeper manufacturers are the upfitters here, and they're the final, the design you end up with is the final from them, and that's a good reminder that these guys are on the job and are very experienced with how to modify the chassis to get you the best long life capability out of it as well.